Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
On the line, we have Professor Andrews. Professor Andrews is a professor of law and a co-director of the Racial Justice Project at New York Law School. Professor Andrews, good morning to you, and thank you for talking to us here on Chai FM.
Good afternoon to you.
Thank you so very much. So, Professor, it's highly unusual that somebody becomes an icon in their own lifetime. And yet that's exactly what Ruth Bader Ginsburg did. I believe you knew her personally.
Yes, I first met Justice Ginsburg when she came to the opening of the Constitutional Court in South Africa, and I know that she visited South Africa a few years later, and then I had the good privilege to meet with her in her chambers when Justice Motsoeneke was a visiting professor at Georgetown Law School in Washington, and he visited the court, and I accompanied him, and we had tea with the justice in her chamber. But a very special event for me was when Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who were then the two women on the court, held an event with Justice Cato Reagan and Justice Yvonne Mokgoro, who were the two judges of the Constitutional Court. And they had the event at the U.S. Congress. It was 2005. Hundreds of women in this setting at the U.S. Capitol. It was just a wonderful event to see these four women justices talk about the law, talk about equality. And also Justice Ginsburg was a big fan of the South African Constitution and the jurisprudence of the Constitutional Court. So yes, and then when I was the president and dean at Albany Law School, the New York State Bar Association had a meeting up there, and an operetta was written for Justice Ginsburg and Justice Scalia, and it was launched then. So she was just a charming, incredibly smart woman. Who, yes, you're right. It's very unusual that a judge becomes a cultural icon in her 80s.
But even that example that you just referred to now about the operetta between herself and Justice Scalia, I mean, they shared no common ground in terms of jurisprudence. One was a liberal and one was a conservative. And yet there was a friendship, and a very real friendship at that. So she never allowed these things to separate her or to distance her from other people. In fact, she made efforts to reach out.
That's right. That's right. And I think she was a model for what we desperately need today, both in the United States and South Africa and elsewhere. It's for the ability for people from different philosophical and ideological backgrounds to actually talk to each other, communicate with each other, and even socialize with each other. I mean, just because you demonize somebody's ideas doesn't mean you demonize them. You can disagree. 100%. And I think she was just wonderful at that. I know on very good authority that Justice Sachs, for example, was a good friend of Justice Ginsburg, as well as Justice Scalia. So I think that was so important, that she modeled that capacity to engage with others that you disagree with.
Professor Andrews, we don't have much time, but if you could just quickly address the issue of the vacancy that she leaves on the Supreme Court, and how much of a split court is this, and what is the effect of Donald Trump being able to or not able to make his preferred appointment?
Well, the first is that the court is really split 4-4, and sometimes, of late, the Chief Justice will side with the liberals, but mostly it's a sort of when there are nine judges sitting, it's a 5-4 court. Her legacy is one of, somebody who really put her mark on the gender equality and civil rights jurisprudence. President Trump has already announced that he will mention, he's going to disclose the name of his candidate, his nominee, on Friday or Saturday. And then, he the Congress, the Senate, can push through the nomination process and actually confirm her. We have now 42 days before the election. And Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, who actually refused to listen to the nomination process or hold hearings for justice for President Obama's candidate in 2016, when there were 10 months left before the election, is actually now on record as saying he's going to push this. His concern is to ensure that the Supreme Court, which is a sort of central figure in American law and politics, really is staffed by a conservative bench, that the conservatives are in the majority. But Mitch McConnell also wants to hold on to the Senate and have the Republicans have the majority in the Senate. So it's, for him, it's a balancing act. It's unclear what the political tea leaves say about pushing the nomination or not. But clearly the president has the authority to, and it is likely that they will at least have the hearings. They may not confirm, but remember there's also a session before the 5th of January. The new senators take their places on the 5th of January, and of course the president on the 20th. So there's a lame duck session of the Senate when they may just decide to confirm the president's choice.
Fascinating. Professor Andrews, thank you so very much for speaking to us at the last minute like this. That was absolutely informative and fascinating. And what a serious time we're at in terms of, the stakes are high.
Indeed. Thank you.
Thank you so very much.